Regenerative medicine is one of the fastest growing fields, with new papers published every single day. As a busy mom of two, I'm guilty of not making the time to keep up with the research, and I think a lot of other veterinary professionals are in the same situation. My name is Dr. Adrienne Wright, and welcome to Sit, Stay, Learn, a short podcast where I review regenerative medicine uses in veterinary science. Each episode, I break down a paper and then I spend 10 to 15 minutes here just giving you the details you need to know to feel like you're staying up to date with the research. For today's paper, I chose a little bit of a curveball. This paper will focus on the use in humans. Most of our papers focus on case studies and clinical trials involving animals because, well, those are your patients. And normally, animal studies guide the human work. However, in this case, I think we can reverse the roles and take the highlights of this paper into animals. I also really liked the creative use of controls in this paper, and I just wanted to share. So, to go ahead and get to the paper, this is a pilot study for the use of adipose-derived MSCs for treating chronic kidney disease in humans. And this paper comes from some researchers in Chile and was published in Kidney Research and Clinical Practice in 2019. To highlight the study design, the objective was to assess the safety and efficacy of a single injection of autologous adipose-derived MSCs. The sample size enrolled was 7 adults. And since this is a pilot study, no control group was used. However, all the variables were measured during the 12 months prior to treatment and then compared to the measurements that were taken 12 months after the treatment. And they are terming this the control period and then the intervention period. I like the creative use of controls here. I know it can be difficult to have a control group in a study. No one wants to be a control, or some feel like you're being harsh by deeming one group as the control where maybe they're getting a placebo. It also increased costs. So I think that they had a creative use of this intervention and control period, and I actually really like it. I do have to say that one patient with diabetic neuropathy was removed from the study due to poor cell proliferation and a resulting low number of cells in culture. So likely they were probably unable to achieve a therapeutic dose for this patient. So the sample size you'll hear us talking about is for 6 patients. The average age was 42 years old. We had 3 female and 3 male, so they balanced it well there. The weight ranged from 63 kilograms to 98 kilograms with an average of 73.5. 4 of the patients were hypertensive, 2 were not. The serum creatinine ranged from 1.49 to 3.3 with an average of 2.22. The normal range for a male is 0.7 to around 1.3 and 0.6 to 1.1 for females. A single IV dose of culture expanded adipose-derived MSCs were given at a dose of 1 million cells per kilogram of body weight. This is actually on the lower end of what you see in human studies. The range that is typically thought to be therapeutic is anywhere from 1 million to 5 million cells per kilogram. Cells were suspended in 120 mils of LRS, and they were given slowly over about 30 to 40 minutes. Majority of the patients received their dose plus or minus 5%, with the exception of patient 1. The dose received was only 59% of the target dose, so it was 40 million for a 68 kilogram patient. So I'm guessing that the patient they excluded had much lower cell numbers. Following the IV dose, patients were observed for 2 hours and they were discharged if they were asymptomatic. Values were then measured for 12 months post-treatment. The inclusion criteria for this study, they had CKD with an estimated GFR between 20 and 40. Daily proteinuria was greater than 150 milligrams, and a blood pressure less than 140 over 90 with or without medication. So some of them did require medications to get to that value, and that was acceptable for this study. Diabetic patients were required to have a glycated hemoglobin less than or equal to 7.5%. Clinical and laboratory evidence of a progressive disease in that 12-month control period prior to treatment had to have been confirmed. No other significant comorbidity or condition that would impact the course of the disease. These were typical things like cancer, immunotherapy, pregnancy, any significant allergies. But interestingly, patients were also not allowed to have any planned elective procedures during this time period. All patients also had been receiving evidence-based, optimized pharmacy treatments for their CKD. So we're going to dive into the CKD a little bit. So chronic kidney disease is characterized by a progressive and permanent loss of kidney function. CKD impacts both the human and the veterinary world with growing incidence and prevalence. There's a high cost of renal substitute therapies and an increase of morbidity and mortality. Available treatments do not halt disease progression, and they do come with significant risks. In the veterinary world, CKD also has high prevalence and it increases with age. It can impact up to 1% of the general dog population and up to 3% of the general cat population. However, like I said, this value does increase significantly with age. So CKD can impact up to 50% of cats age 15 or older and up to about 10% of older dogs. Certain breeds are going to be more predisposed to CKD. And dogs with CKD often face a worse prognosis and shorter survival time compared to cats. At Ardent, we have been seeing cats treated for CKD with our cell therapy product for over a decade with promising results. The ability of MSCs to preserve renal structure and function in experimental acute renal injury was demonstrated in rats in a 2009 paper, as well as in rodent models for diabetic neuropathy, partial nephrectomy, and allograft neuropathy. From those studies, the noted benefits of MSCs have been decreased immune response, decreased protein excretions, and preservation of the tubular and interstitial architecture. But the choice of MSCs as a therapeutic actually makes sense. The therapeutic benefit from MSCs is mainly trophic and/or immune-mediated effects. The immunoactivity of MSCs is mediated by both secreted molecules and cell-to-cell contact that involves many different cell types. So at one point in time, we thought it was only the cell-to-cell contact, but now we know that the secreted molecules are just as important, if not more important, than that cell-to-cell contact. We have paracrine and trophic effects, and they're mediated by the secretion of the angiogenic and anti-apoptotic factors. And the broad catalog of secreted factors from MSCs, and in my opinion, maybe more importantly in the SVF, has the potential to contribute to kidney regeneration. Data has shown effects through secreted microvesicles, and stromal cells have even been shown to rescue damaged cells in the absence of MSC persistence in the tissues through a transfer of active mitochondria. I personally would love to see a similar study like this performed using just SVF. However, CKD has been linked in a study to loss of both stem cell quality and stem cell quantity, especially as the patients go through disease progression. This is important to note and can speak to the importance, at least, you know, for Ardent purposes, for animals, to proactively bank the cells, especially for those cats that see up to a 50% prevalence of CKD in old age. I wouldn't wait until the cat is 15 to risk collection of cells that are not as plentiful or effective as they were in the younger years. And obviously that older animal is a surgical risk. So proactive collection at the time of a spay or a neuter or any other surgical procedure like a dental is imperative to collecting those cells at a young age and having them on hand for future needs. Now there is a paper published in 2011 by Quimby et al. That treated cats with MSCs for CKD. And they investigated intrarenal injections. They used some ultrasound guidance there. And it did require sedation. They did see improvement. However, they wanted to evaluate different MSC sources and injection routes to assist with widespread clinical application. Because obviously, doing intrarenal injections and having to sedate the cat, that's a hurdle that everyone would want to overcome. So I think an IV dose would be a little bit easier. But for the paper we're discussing, I do love that this group rationalized their conscious decision to choose adipose-derived MSCs. We know that they exhibit similar differentiation potential, kinetics, genes transduction, and differentiation capacity to bone marrow MSCs. However, the bone marrow samples do require invasive and painful harvest procedures, and they yield fewer MSCs, and it's harder to get a high amount of bone marrow. This group has also previously published the use of adipose-derived MSCs in a rodent model for CKD and reported recovery in renal function and disease biomarkers. So their hypothesis in this study was that a single injection of the culture-expanded autologous MSCs would have positive effects on these CKD patients with moderate disease. Again, I want to point out that the authors do acknowledge and got creative to conquer the lack of a control group. A parallel control group would have definitely strengthened this study. However, it's a pilot study with the end goal of generating preliminary data to inform the design of future randomized placebo-controlled studies. So I think they nailed it, and I still see this as valuable data. Okay, so the primary endpoint was change in the CKD parameters, which included protein excretion and the filtration rate in the 12-month control period compared to the 12-month treatment period. And although I have discussed that I love the creativity of this control period, I do acknowledge that this wouldn't really be feasible necessarily in an animal. 12 months is a long time for these animals, and the use of humans here I think was just really nice, and it gave us a longer observation period. So they extracted the adipose tissue from the abdomen. They did 20 to 25 grams, same amount that we do. We even do up to 40, 45. The cells were extracted and they were passaged for three passages. Cells were characterized per the International Society of Cell Therapy guidelines. I will note that their release criteria for the batch was a little below the recommendation. They did set that release criteria for cell populations at a positive 90%, where we would normally see 95% for the ISCT recommendation. But it seems to actually not be a problem for any of the markers except for the CD90. It was a little low. It was at 87% for the data that they showed in figure one. So I don't know if that's 87% for all patients or if that was just a selected cell line that they published. But all the other characterization data looks normal. This is another difference in human versus animal studies. You won't always see as stringent characterization data in animal work aside from a lot of the rodent work. Okay, as a reminder, patients received the single IV dose and it was approximately 1 million cells per kilogram body weight, and they were followed for 12 months. All patients had controlled blood pressure and followed a dietary protein restriction, although they said that several admitted to not following that protein restriction. But following treatment, 4 patients decreased their body weight by 1 to 2 kilograms. And then the other 2 patients actually increased body weight from 2 to 4 kilograms in that 12-month period. All infusions were well tolerated and no treatment-related adverse events were reported. In the control period, 4 of the 6 patients demonstrated increased protein excretions that ranged from 20% to as high as 205%. And when you compare that to the treatment period, a reduction in protein excretion did occur in all patients, with the exception of patient number 4, who had renal dysplasia. However, if you look at just patient 4's data, their control period increase to treatment period increase, the values in the control period increased by 205%, and then after treatment fell to an increase of only 12%. So, wow, I would still say that's a huge improvement. Renal function was assessed looking at plasma creatinine levels. They used the filtration rate, and these values decreased 12 months following treatment, although it was not significant. So the p-value here was a 0.065. A larger sample size would have been needed to see significance here because I think they're right on the cusp. But all patients, with the exception of patient 4, again, saw a reduction that ranged anywhere from 7.5% up to 49%. They did attempt to analyze individual values based on the filtration rate slope, and it was an interesting note that the patients who saw stabilization of that filtration rate were those with less inflammatory CKD types. This data actually would potentially support MSCs exerting therapeutic benefits besides just the anti-inflammatory benefit that we all know and love. The lab measurements for patient safety were not shown, but they included coagulation, liver function, and metabolic test. Again, they did not show them, but they just note that they did not change pre and post treatment. But clinically, I think this agrees with what we are seeing. So cats treated with Ardent's SVF often do not see huge value changes in their blood work, or even may see values that are all over the place. But the quality of life improvements, such as the weight and mood, appetite, energy level, on, they do see a tremendous positive change. Okay. Although not all of the 6 responded equally, their data does suggest that a single MSC infusion was able to reduce protein excretion without any noticeable adverse events in 5 of the 6 patients. Their data demonstrated a favorable safety profile overall. I would say adverse events have occurred in other studies, specifically with adipose-derived MSCs, but you typically only see that with the large IV doses. And like I said here, we're definitely on the lower end of that IV dose. This study also demonstrated the feasibility of the treatment. So like the Quimby study where they were doing intrarenal injections, I think an IV dose is always going to be more favorable. It's easy. But the IV dose that they use here, it was selected, it was well tolerated, and it was able to be achieved in all 6 patients. This study did not shed light on what filtration rate an individual should have to benefit from cell therapy. They do note that this is a limitation of the study because the study did select those individuals with eGFR values ranging from 20 to 40 mils per minute to avoid patients with end-stage disease. They want to make sure they have some deterioration and these are moderate stage disease. But another study published suggests that individuals with major deterioration of their eGFR could be less responsive to cell therapy. So I agree with the group. I definitely think this is a limitation to the study. So when you have their selection of filtration values and then you combine that with a small and heterogeneous population, that makes it really hard to see changes in the filtration rate. Also, I want to note that a conflicting phase one study was published with 6 autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease patients. They were treated with bone marrow MSCs, IV, same as here, a single dose. They did do 2 million cells per kilogram, so double the size. But interestingly, there were no changes in the filtration rate or a reduction in the creatinine in the 12-month period. It could be explained by evidence suggesting that bone marrow MSCs are defective in CKD patients. Personally, I just think it could be the cell type. I really would love to see SVF cells used here. I think that the heterogeneity of that cell population could really benefit CKD patients, and I think it would explain the positive benefits that Ardent sees. But overall, I think the data presented here is promising, and it justifies designing a future clinical trial to further evaluate the clinical response. I think this is exciting. For those that have used Ardent cell therapy for CKD, what results did you see? We would love to hear. Shoot me an email. And that's all for today. So in general, what are your thoughts on the treatment of CKD with MSCs? For the text version of this episode, you can head to our blog. If you have questions on this episode or a paper you would like me to review, you can email me at adrian@ardentanimalhealth.com. I hope you all have a wonderful week. See you next time.